Have you been watching the news? It's been very interesting. Have you been watching world events and all the complicated twists and turns that mankind and man's governments interact with each other? China and Russia and Iran are aligning. Global warming is driving our politics. Venezuela, Mexico also, and Ukraine is repelling Russia. And more countries are joining or have joined NATO, setting up for a possible World War III. It's just mind-boggling to comprehend all that's going on, not to speak of our daily lives, for some, the living conditions, taxes, inflation, making ends meet, just finding and keeping a job sometimes is really a challenge, as we understand very well. So much to do, so little time. What do we do with our time? How do we see our lives? What things are important in our lives? What's on our minds? Even the good things can be hard to see and to make time to do them, in addition to all the challenges that we face living in this world. It doesn't feel like we get a break sometimes, and our patience is challenged, and sometimes we feel like we're just grasping at air. Does all this sound familiar? It does to me. We all get our portion of this in life, but is there a solution, a breath of fresh air to give us some relief and some hope? Today we will discuss that breath of fresh air straight from God's word, and it's called the simplicity of Christ. We will see how this relates to the coming kingdom of God, as Mr. Burton so rightly pointed out, which is coming forward in our celebration of the Day of Trumpets, 9 days away. You may have heard that term simplicity of the gospel before. You may have heard messages on it. I intend to show you that the simplicity of Christ has a very personal impact on true Christians. Let's start with defining it. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 11 with me, please, for this. Where the term is used, Paul does use the term many times. 2 Corinthians 11. And verse 1. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. He's talking to the Corinthians here, and they've had people come in who are teaching a different gospel. And indeed, you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Here, Paul is concerned that the Corinthians are being deceived by a false Jesus brought to others in the congregation, brought and that by others in the congregation, that they may actually give attention to it and listen to it. Paul was concerned about the purity of their faith. And we'll see that simplicity is also pure as well. Simplicity is Strong's word. G572, or haplotes, the Greek word haplotes. And in the Logneia Greek lexicon, it says that that word means simplicity. It's the quality of sincerity as an expression of singleness of purpose or motivation. Sincerity, purity of motive, with sincerity of heart, or with a heart that seeks only one purpose. The Spence Jones commentary on 2 Corinthians says that simplicity means, in this case, the perfect fidelity which looks to him above. The Bible Expository Commentary says the picture here is that of a loving father who has a daughter engaged to be married. He feels it is his privilege and duty to keep her pure so that he can present her to her husband with joy and not with sorrow. Paul saw the local church as a bride, engaged to be married to Jesus Christ. The marriage will not take place until Jesus Christ has come for his bride. But meanwhile, the church, and this means individual Christians, must keep herself pure as she prepares to meet her beloved. Now we understand the first word, simplicity here, a pure singular heart looking to Jesus Christ for all things as a bride looks towards her betrothed. And of course, the gospel, kind of simply in a rough manner here, I'll give you 3 points that kind of points out the gospel. I'm just going to go through it quickly. First, Jesus was sent to save us from the beginning. I think we heard some of this in the sermonette. Sent to save us from the beginning of time to pay for our sins. 1 Peter 1, 19 through 20 says this. Second, we are to repent and be baptized in his name, Matthew 4, 17. Third, we are to live by every word of God. Again, we heard this in the sermonette, of a great foundation for us to start this message now. We are to live by every word of God, Matthew 4, 4. The kingdom of heaven, or God, mentioned in Matthew, is simply put as the government of God coming to this earth to save humanity. It's referred to 162 times in the New Testament. 162 times. How do we secure entry into it? How do we do that? And the sermonette being so thorough as it was, by repenting and living his word and converting our hearts with sincerity and becoming one of his children. I'm going to emphasize children here. We need to see the value of the simplicity of Christ and what he was offering to us, his children, in purity of heart and love. Please turn with me to Psalm 116. I'm going to have a focus on children in this message. Looking at things from their viewpoint can help us to see what we may need to change in our lives. It may be inspirational for us too as well. And I hope to bring that out today in this message. Psalm 116 and verse 6. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. So we'll look at the future and see how we can be brought low with Jesus Christ through his words to be closer to him and his kingdom. The key scripture today is Matthew 18, verses 2 through 4. Please turn with me there. These are the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew 18. He loves us all, and he gave us very good instruction on what our path should be in life. And remembered also that this was after the apostles asked him, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? But the words he gives us here apply specifically to us too as well. Matthew 18, verses 2 through 4. Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven or God. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The same message is mentioned also in Luke and Mark. So what does it mean to become a little child or to convert to it? What kind of attitude should we have if we are to be like a child? Is this what God sees in us when he looks at us, when he looks at each of us, which he does? He sees right to our heart. He knows us better than we know ourselves. What does he see? Have we thought about what he sees? I'm going to go through 2 commentaries here that explain what God is implying, what Jesus is implying, or what he would be seeing or looking for. First, I'm going through the Matthew commentary, a few excerpts on Matthew 18, verses 2 through 4. It says, Jesus solemnly declares that disciples must turn away, change from their preoccupation with status and must humble themselves like children. In the first century thought, children were often very little esteemed. Jesus ascribes to them great value. But here, his more immediate point is that would-be disciples must share their condition of utter dependence. So we start out with the concept that children are utterly dependent on their parents. We need to be utterly dependent on God the Father and Jesus Christ. In this case, be utterly dependent on God. Without a recognition of one's fundamental inability to save oneself, you can't save yourself. And without a subsequent complete resilience, reliance on God's mercy, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven. Conversely, those who most clearly perceive their helplessness in this world and who respond accordingly are the greatest in the kingdom. This is what Matthew 18, 2 through 4, this is what the commentary, Matthew commentary says. Jesus replies, unless you change, you will never enter the kingdom, and all who are confident in their own kingdom standing should take stock. Is our confidence that of a child trusting the goodness of our Father, or is our confidence in ourselves? So as dependents of God the Father, we start with a new view, and this is me talking, a new view of the world. Now we're going to go to Matthew Henry, another commentary, one of my favorite commentary people. And he gives us two steps here to look at. And again, it's on Matthew 11 and verses 2 through 4. It says, first, you must be converted. You must be of another mind and in another frame and temper. You must have other thoughts, both of yourself and of the kingdom of heaven, before you be fit for a place in it. The pride, ambition, affection of honor, and dominion which appear in you must be repented of, mortified, and reformed. You must come to yourselves. Secondly, Matthew Henry says, you must become as little children. Converting grace makes us like little children, not foolish as children. Not fickle, not playful, but as children, we must desire the sincere milk of the word. And that's in 1 Peter 2:2. We'll cover that later. As children, we must be careful for nothing, but leave it to our Heavenly Father to care for us. We learn a relationship with God the Father by doing that. If we're not letting God into our lives, we're essentially building a barrier that keeps him out. If you don't let him get involved in your decision-making processes, your choices in life, your thoughts about the world, he will be kept out. And you're going to be wondering, why isn't he listening to me? We must, as children, be harmless and inoffensive and void of malice, governable, under command, and we must be humble as little children. So I'm going to take you through some slides today. We're going to talk about being humble as little children. Little children have no great aims. This again is Matthew Henry, at great places or projects to raise themselves in the world. They exercise not themselves in things too high for them, and we should in like manner behave and quiet ourselves. Psalm 131, 1 and 2, which I also reference later. As children are little in body and low in stature, so we must be little and low in spirit. And in our thoughts of ourselves, this is a temper which leads us to other good dispositions. The age of childhood is the learning age. So my first slide, which I have, which will come up on the screen, is a child has an innocent and pure view of the world. Things are black and white. There is no in between for children. And this screen is showing you examples of a number of children. Can you go to full screen on that? You don't know. Okay. That would probably be this. No way. Okay. Sorry. We're missing part of the side of the screen there because of this. You got to go back to the first screen. There you go. And you're on the first screen. Okay. Good. So while looking at these pictures of these children, and I have a couple of slides, pictures of children, all royalty free. Oxford's bibliographies talk, or actually piece on Innocent in Childhood by Doris Bueller and Niederberger states that the notion of innocence refers to a child's simplicity, their lack of knowledge, and their purity, not yet spoiled by mundane affairs. Such innocence is taken as a promise of the renewal of the world by the children. So from a child's viewpoint, being small, they're looking for renewal. They're looking for something exciting in the world that they know nothing about. You see, we learn as we grow, when we were children, that people are not always being or doing what they say or pretend to be in this world. So we start to learn that people may have many shades of reality or truth. Again, the sermonette today was perfect for this. This erodes our confidence in people, and we start looking for and maybe projecting the in-betweens, the half-truths, the misconceptions which children are very sensitive to and can pick up on. The world becomes complicated, and we have to protect our hearts from being hurt. God's kingdom will reverse all of that, all of the world's influence. So we need to see that our hearts can rejoice in the innocence and the purity of life and truth. Like a child, we have to step forward in the hope of this new kingdom that's coming, of trust and truth, while we're still living in this corrupt world. We have to be able to have that vision, even though we're in this corrupt world. Can you visualize yourself, the innocence and adventures of discovering this new world, the kingdom of God, sort of like being given a new bike when you're a kid, or a new doll, or some other toy? You can't wait to explore all its features. You got to go play with it right away. And with love and joy that the kingdom is bringing, do you think we can do the same, have the same attitude when we come to the kingdom? Isaiah 11:6 points this out, well-known scripture, which we know very, very well. But I think at the end of the scripture, you get a little flavor for it. Isaiah 11:6 says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them." And what do you think that child's going to be doing? They're going to have all sorts of excitement or adventures. Come with me, lion. I think we have one here. See? Come with me, lion. Let's go investigate the back of this barn. We think there's something fun here to do. Let's go look and see what's going on. Come with me, wolf. Let's go do that. So we have to have this kind of simple thought that in simplicity of God's gospel, there is a hope of pure inspiration and adventure awaiting us in the soon coming kingdom of God. Hope of a pure adventure and inspiration waiting for us. Please go to the second slide. The second slide is also a childlike condition. Children have unconditional love for their parents, whether they are good or bad. That is the parents. They still love them anyway with pure hearts. A child seeks to please the parents, the hearts of the parents, no matter how the parents treat them, they still love and want to please. Even as they grow older, they find ways to please their parents. Our parent is God the Father. Can we feel that pure, unconditional love towards Him now? Even when our lives are not going our way, are we shaping our lives to reach for His love? Are we watching Him closely for every blessing, for every word, for every door that He opens for us, in enthusiastic expectation that we can please Him by going through that door and walking in His ways? Just as a child watches their parents' actions towards them and their words towards them with stored love. They store love and then they share it back. They are always looking for ways to please their parents, a drawing, a flower, a hug, anything to show their love. Child has unconditional love for their parents, whether they are good or bad, they still love them anyway with pure hearts. We can develop that love and store it up in us for God the Father, because look what he's doing for us. Think back to when you were a child. I've done this many times, and I think you'd be surprised. Every time you do, you probably come up with something new that God did to protect you, to guide you, to bring you to today, which is where he wants you right now. You're exactly where he wants you right now. And think about all the things he did, all the times he saved your life. I'm standing here because God saved my life a couple of times. I won't go into detail, but I'm here alive because of that. All of you probably can have that same kind of story. Please go to the next slide. The third point about children and about how to have more of a childlike attitude is that a child is a sponge for knowledge and wants to learn how things work. A child is a sponge for knowledge and wants to learn how things work. And in the London Journal of Primary Care, the article on the importance of early bonding and on long-term mental health and resilience of children by Robert Winston and Rebecca Chicot, it states that human babies are born very dependent on their parents. They undergo huge brain development, growth and neuron pruning in the first 2 years of life. The brain development of an infant's, as well as their social, emotional, and cognitive development, depends on a loving bond or attachment relationship with the primary caregiver, usually a parent. Our parent is God the Father, and we're growing in knowledge and understanding every minute that we listen to him. When we are babies, we see, we talk, we make sounds, we play, we learn all day long. We are 100% focused on our interactions with our environment. For us as God's children, babes in Christ, we turn to the Bible for knowledge to apply it and to find out how things work. Do we search the Bible for all of its intricacies and instruction? Are we soaking up every spiritual instruction given us, then applying it like a child to find out how it works? Sit there and go, huh, I learned something. This is great. This worked. Let's do this. Let's do that. I'm getting excited because I'm finding that it works. Can we be as open-minded as a child and willing to absorb all the attributes of a new way of life that we must live? And we must live it so we're prepared for his love and his kingdom. Are we acting out his way of living like children, trying to act out heroes? Can we adopt the wonder of a child who learns something new, like the one at the bottom center of this picture? From her perspective, can we see Jesus Christ, the Father, in the kingdom, and how they're bringing us in love towards the kingdom as the wonder of a child as he works in our lives? Can we see all the things from a child's perspective and love our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and train our hearts in the pure, simple, and sincere love God is offering us? God is calling us to see the beauty and glory of his sacrifice and love for all mankind. Can we humble ourselves like these children and see it and get excited about it in awe? So I take one short break here on the sermon and give you a program note. Could somebody please go out in the aisle and let my wife know that the sermon will be over in 10 minutes? Just one person in the aisle, not everybody else. Thank you very much. Tell her she's a 10-minute warning. God is love. Can we return his love? Everything I just went through shows how children really respect love, respect the interaction and the relationship with their father and their parents. Can we respect it and grow it and love it like he? 1 Peter 2:2, please. I said before, we covered this already. I just want to have a few scriptures in your head here as we wrap up this message. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Children are a sponge for learning and they grow. They grow at an exponential rate. Then Matthew 22:37. Some of these are memory scriptures. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So do you think the children in this picture love their parents with all their heart and all their mind and all their soul? How pure is that? And how much fidelity is there? Can you really count on it? You sure can. Jesus, in a way, became a child for us in love. Every Passover, we go through the foot washing ceremony, and we're reminded how Jesus became a servant for us. Turn with me to Matthew 22. We're always reminded that he believes service is more important than being a big leader. He always humbled himself to wash our feet, almost like a child. In the ancient times, it was the lowest person in the house that would wash the feet of the people who walked miles to get there through streets that were dirt and full of dung and other things. So Jesus said, I will do that for you. And I'm sorry, I already did Matthew 22:37. I want to go to Hebrews 7:6. My fault here. Hebrews 7:26. Jesus came in a way of humility for us, almost like a child in love. In Hebrews 7:26, it says, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, is a description of a child, undefiled, also a description of a child, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. He came as a child for us as well in humility. David also saw the value of becoming a child, becoming like a child. Psalm 131, I told you to refer back to this. Psalm 131, please. David himself had many, many qualities that God loved, and it fits us well to learn from him. In Psalm 131, verses 1 through 2, David said, my Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my ear, my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. So as the sermonette was talking about meditation, I'm also requesting it here. Meditate on the simplicity of the gospel and the inspiration it can bring to your life as a child in Christ. Here's some scriptures to go with that. Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Ephesians 5:1-2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Didn't say as children, said as dear children. He loves us. Are we returning to love? And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Meditate on those scriptures and on this last one, Matthew 6, verses 20 through 21. Three scriptures here to meditate on. Matthew 6, 20 to 21. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And hopefully inspired and excited and full of stored love for God the Father.